down. 10. 9. 8. 7. 6. 5. 4. 3. 2.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Topper Sports League podcast, the official podcast of the number one social co-ed touch football league in history. With your host, Joe Kay, Emily Schilling, Jeff Kroll, and occasional and random appearances by the Lord himself, Topper. Not to mention, we'll have our random guests, new and old, from the TSL community. Who do we have this week? Let's go find out.
Nothing. That's fine. Then we'll just start right now. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the week three version of the TSL podcast, coming at you, well, not live, but recorded from Sideline Sports,
Sideline Sports Bar and Grill.
We recorded this on Sunday because, well, Monday and Tuesday are just not things for us this time around. And Jeff and I woke up this morning not having a place to do the podcast. So I was like, Jeff, what are we going to do? He's like, well, Kyle and Mike's apparently calling every bar in the area. I go, I guess Kyle and Mike's on then. It's a bad week to have you on because guess what? I played every fucking game you were in.
I know.
So you're not going to give me any deep insight here.
No.
We
could have different perspectives, though.
Probably not. Sure. I think it's pretty much going to be the same exact perspective. But that's A-OK. So hi, everybody. I'm Joe Kay. Week three came and went. Right? It was week three? Yep.
Week three.
And it was the best week yet because it was really, really nice out. Finally, it felt like football after a couple rainy weeks, and April was kind of blah. But we had a great day. Everybody was getting drunk. Definitely had a good time at the bar. People were getting ready for the Kentucky Derby. They were bailing on Derby, you know, to go to Derby parties. A lot of people around. It's exactly what you want. It's exactly what football is. And the season's really, technically, it's almost half over, which is weird, right?
It is wild that in a week from now, it's going to be half over. It feels like it just started.
Right. So that's pretty awesome. So shout out to you, Mike, for getting this spot, because you're pretty rock. So thanks for that, man.
Thanks. Yeah, not a problem. Jeff got a hold of me early enough in the day, and I just made some phone calls. That's really all that happened.
Yeah, that's a lot more than I was going to be doing, apparently. So thanks again. And then Jenna's here. Hey, Jenna.
Hi.
You're coming from, you were in Pennsylvania already?
Yeah, I had military this morning, so.
Yeah, I know, you're dressed the part.
I am dressed the part.
You're in your fatigues or whatever.
It's, I told you, crazy. I was barely going to make it on time, so.
It's all right. I mean, you kind of had all, anytime we wanted, so it worked out really well. An entire day of football happened. A lot of stuff happened. There was just good games across the board. Great weather, like I said. A lot of sunburn pretty much across the board.
Lots of sunburn.
I don't really need to talk to you guys much about anything because everybody's been on the show before, so it's pretty cool. Kyle Rama's even here.
She's making her second appearance.
She did her second appearance on the show. She was a trip. I was watching her play tag with random people throughout the league, just running up and slapping and saying, you're only running away. It was great.
And outrunning most of them.
Yes. Well, it was Jeff Eason and Dave Walter, so that shouldn't be too hard.
It took him about a good 20 minutes to tag her. Actually, I think he just gave up. He didn't actually tag her.
No. He's like, you know what? You win. We're done here. I don't blame it. It was great. But you know what else was great? The football. So let's get right into it. Jenna, why don't you read me the Breakfast Club scores?
All right. We have Steph Infection 32 versus the Vaginas 14. Comosexuals 42 versus the Little Dubs 38. BDSM 36 versus the Ash Slinging Slashers 30.
All right. So we're doing a bad thing here. We're three of us are on one of these teams. It's your team. We got our ass kicked after being up, I want to say, 14-6, 14-8.
But we only got our ass kicked the second half, not the first
half. That's not a good way to look at it. Maybe you shouldn't be a captain. You should be furious at your team for not playing well, dropping touchdowns and throwing bad passes.
We played really well the first half.
We did, and then we didn't. What happened?
To be honest, I don't even know.
Mike, what happened?
We started out just fine, and we made plays that they weren't really expecting. I know that, like, I made that little circus catch in the end zone where I volleyed it to myself.
Yes.
I finally had it brought my hand.
Blacked out.
And then, yeah, I know, Joe can't even see that. He's like, wait, we scored?
I did.
We were on the sideline. I'm like, you missed that? You missed that play. He's like, yeah, I did. And I'm like, oh, you're my least favorite person on the team now.
That's fine.
I think we walked into the first.
You do not like talking into your microphone. You need to set it up way better. You can move the mic.
Jenna, we talked about this.
Unbelievable.
I think we started out the first half really well, and then we got to halftime. We were like, oh my God, we're winning. And then we were kind of just confident in the fact that we were winning and didn't really try much the second half.
I won't say that. I disagree with that. We definitely tried, but it was just.
Oh, yeah. They remembered they have D1 athletes on their team.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they remembered. And then
us.
Then they started using them.
And then there's us.
Which happens. That's fine. It is what it is.
Yeah. They just got a plan together, so then, and they won.
B got in the zone. You know when B gets locked in as a quarterback?
Yeah.
He was starting to do that thing where he's like looking at sidelines, kind of like pointing to people, like, I got this. I'm like,
he also
right,
has Jamie and Renee, who he both plays with, so I think it kind of helps having people that you regularly play with on a team.
Right. Well, Renee's not even normally on the team. She was
She's
subbing.
Not. She was the sub.
And I remember going, I was like, Steph, this is bullshit. And
I said,
it's Katie Salesman.
Yes.
Like, I can't even argue.
Jenna said the same thing. She's like,
nonsense.
Who allowed this?
I said,
and I was like,
this?
She's literally replacing one of the best females in the league. So
and I was like, no,
you allow it.
As soon as they said that's who was missing, I was like, oh, yeah, never mind. That's fair. Whatever. I'm over it.
Yeah.
It's like, you couldn't have found somebody better?
So if this continues, though, is Steph the best drafter?
Yeah.
As a practice club captain?
Of course she is.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Or really,
impressive.
Maybe it's a huge indictment on how terrible the other girls are at drafting.
But I feel
Steph
like
is the only one who can competently do this.
I don't think that's very accurate, no.
Well, why would
you wouldn't think that.
But here we are. So.
I have a good team. We have fun. We hype each other up.
We definitely had fun.
We may be a fun team, but I don't know about how good we are.
We won the first week.
It's fine. I'm kidding. No, the team's...
No, we're pretty good.
We'll be A-OK. I'm not really
concerned
about it.
It's hard to win when we have one player who can't catch a single thing.
What are you going to do?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
So...
Shots fired.
What?
That was week one.
Oh, brutal. I thought she was talking about herself. My bad.
No, I was talking about Mike.
Oh, that's on me. My mistake. The other games, Jeff, you were parading around the fields. Did you catch anything?
What was I doing? Parading?
Yeah, you were definitely in between fields and looking at games. I saw
Yeah,
you.
Parading was just
you
an interesting choice
prancing.
Of verb.
You
I was
prancing
around.
You.
So while I was prancing between fields, I did see a couple things. I saw in the BDSM game, Brent McKenzie had a nice touchdown
of
from
course
Sean.
He did. He's
of course
the best.
He did. He's so good.
Yeah, I heard Sean remember how to actually like play quarterback.
Yeah, I mean,
today.
They looked like a team that had played football before.
Well, it's because the ball wasn't wet this week, so.
That's
maybe
fair.
That's what it was. I mean, they just looked like a high-functioning offense, which was awesome to see. And then the homosexuals game, I barely saw any of that. Every time I looked at the Little Dubs offense, you know, it's Frank Ladico scrambling
yes,
around.
That's what
days.
I was going to say.
Don't rush a slow girl. I'm not saying that they were rushing a slow girl, but you've got to rush some speed against
the
Frank or you're
when you
not
have,
going to get him.
Yeah, if you have all slow females, just rush a dude then.
Yeah, you're
going
to have to and drop your girls in the coverage.
Because
you're
not
going
to
have a chance.
He was like Matty Ice circa like 2015, just running around back there for an hour and a half until somebody gets open. It's
before Matty got
though.
Old and decided
and just,
he couldn't run
yeah,
anymore.
Before he crippled himself. Just
yeah.
With bones not working anymore. So, shout out to them. Good work for BDSM getting a win. Homosexuals got a win in a close game. Breakfast Club's always fun. Like, we kind of had a feeling coming out of the draft that it was going to be average. Like, everybody was going to be really close. A lot of parity. And I think that's what we're going to get. It's really wild scene, so I'm pumped about that. But we can get out of that. Let's move on to the 10 o'clock games.
All right. We have the Sticky Bandits, 30, against Gray Hair Don't Care, 27. Mavericks, 41, against Practice Squad, 37. The Wanderers, 20, against Vaspian, 18. And Passing While Intoxicated, 43, against Buffalo Vice, 25.
All right, Mavericks, 41, Practice Squad, 37. Practice Squad still keeps putting up points. They still get close. I was talking to B a little bit, and he said it was just another one where they were right there, and they couldn't finish. And I was like, dude, last year at this time, you were basically the same record, but you were losing by like two scores. Now you're in every single game already, and then we know what happened last year where they won. So he's like, yeah, you're right. He's like, we just gotta shore up. It's like one or two plays, and he'll be
yeah.
Oh, okay. You know?
And it was interesting. I saw I think it was about the last play of that game. So Mavericks needed a score at the very end, and I'm sure that whoever their primary target was, I think it was Manny, like stepped out the back of the end zone,
yeah.
And he knew it, so he just stopped running. Like, all right, can't throw to me now. So it looked to me like Jordan made a great adjustment. You know, went back cross body and found his wife for like the game-winning touchdown.
That's awesome.
Which is really cool to see. I mean, it was a great play.
Good on Manny then in that scenario, because there's a lot of people that step
yeah.
out and they know it, but they still continue to play anyway.
Exactly, which is only doing your quarterback a disservice, because then
correct.
They throw it to someone who's not eligible.
All right, shout out there. Jenny, you said you refereed the Wanderers 20 Vaspian 18 game?
Yes, I did. I reffed that game with Billy. It was a pretty good game, honestly. A lot of back and forth. I mean, every team scored back and forth for the most part. Like, one team would block, the other team would block. So it was pretty consistent. Honestly, I think both teams played really well. It was my first time ever even really meeting any of the players on the Wanderers, so they're a pretty good team. Nice group of people.
They're a great group of people, for sure.
Yeah, they were a really good group of people.
And so what did it come down to the end, or what happened?
I know it came down to, like, one of the second-to-last plays of the game. Like, they got the ball, like, with 30 seconds left.
Who's they? Wanderers?
I think Vaspian got
trying
the ball
to take,
back.
Try to win? Okay.
Yeah, at the very end, and there just wasn't time.
Right.
There just wasn't time to do it. I think they were, like, maybe at the 50-yard line and had, like, 5 seconds to
nice.
Do something, so...
So another extremely close game for the Wanderers. I think everything's been within, like, 3 points.
All of them have been
time,
within
right?
three, I think,
that's
yeah.
crazy. So shout-out to them. That's really cool. Well, let's get to it. Sticky Bandits, 30. Gray Hair Don't Care, 27. That was a close one. Whatever.
Yeah, it was a good one. I think there were some people on both teams, this is just my guess here, that were a little affected by Cinco de Mayo. So some people just looked a little bit off.
So it was like the hungover bowl?
Yeah, a little bit. You could definitely see that in some people's eyes. It was a good game. We led by 11 at halftime. We were actually leading by 12 with, you know, like 5 minutes left or something. Took a couple deep shots to try to ice the game, and it just didn't pan out. They got the ball. They scored on sixth down to, I think it was to Amber. But at that point, it was, you know, we knew we had a two-score lead. Mm-hmm. We're just killing clock. So we spent the last couple minutes just, you know, throwing the ball in the dirt to lock up the win. So.
Don't you hate that you, like, have to do that, though?
Yeah, I know. We asked, like, hey, guys, you wanna call this? But they wanted to see if
just
we were willing to
just in case some magical
throw,
thing yeah. happens, yeah.
Yep. But I will say George Lombardo had a couple really nice catches in traffic for Gray Hair Don't Care.
He's so tan already.
He is really tan.
He showed up.
We were talking about it.
Extremely tan.
Yeah, well, he had his like Florida tan with like tanning bed tan on top of that. He looks fantastic.
Nonsense. Good for him. Ugh. Anyway, all right, Mike. Pass the ball on Toss Gated. What do you guys have? 43. Buffalo Vice 25. Vice was 2-0 on going into this game. You guys had already lost once, right?
Yeah, we lost once.
So this was a big win. What happened in it?
Yeah, so actually, I think really what it was is like we just passing while intoxicated. As a team, we needed that first week to get going again.
To get intoxicated.
Yeah, to get, you know, you got to, that's really why we have that name. also, they scored first, and then we, you know, and then we responded well. I think, really, I saw them, and this is no shade at them, I saw as the game went on, as we climbed back into it, then took the lead, then had some stops on defense, I could see the discouragement in their face, you know, like it, their mood changed, and by no means do we think that we absolutely, like, crushed them, because there was some plays we left out there that they had drops that plagued that whole thing where they could have definitely at least hung in much better than they did, but they had some drops that really hurt them. They had some big yards that they could have had that just, I mean, we got lucky on some plays. But our defense really started to adjust to what they were doing, taking away, and we took away the deep ball. And I think they were trying to force that too much, and that didn't. Then they put them behind, you know, when it came to the later downs, five and six down, so they're trying to make too much happen and too much field to cover. And so we were able to knock that down. Addison Shimagala had three interceptions.
Nice.
And Buddy Lee was just on. We had Robert Lee, which is his brother.
Yep, he used to play on Inches and O's.
And yeah, and he tore it up. When you have him in there, and then I play in the slot. When you have him there, and then you got to choose between the two of us, that's where it starts to get tricky for the safety.
Unless you just choose him.
Well, then, yeah. But I mean, it's not like I won't catch it if I'm by myself.
Jenna suggests otherwise.
So. Anyways, everyone actually had a great game. A lot of other people stepped up in this game. We have Alex and Brett. Shumagala also, that's Addison's brother. Mm-hmm. There was one I do want to mention that I want to apologize to them for. They were like, hey, do you guys want to play it out or you want to just end it, right? And we're like, they said play it out. And I'm like, okay, we'll play it out if only if you do, because otherwise we'll end it, right?
Right.
Well, on the very next play, Brett Shumagala runs a post and Buddy Lee hit him for a touchdown. And so it's kind of like a punch in the face. We'll play it out. And then we're like, bam, there's another touchdown just to add to the score that was already out of reach.
You
and so
it
was
kind of
like,
don't apologize.
We're like, wow, what an asshole move that was.
It is kind of addictive.
And so it wasn't, I felt bad about that. We were even yelling at him. We're like, just go out of bounds. And he just took it all the way to the touch, like all the way to the house. And we're like,
no,
all right.
They said play it out.
That's true. That's not how we roll.
No, I hear you. So, you guys moved up to D4 after you guys won last year. Did you make any big changes? Like, what's different with the team? Seems like you're fitting in A-okay.
Which is funny, because really what's fitting in is the team that we had in D5, because we did add some people. We have Chad Griffin, who I think was one of yours.
He's a first ballot Bullet Club Hall of Fame.
Yeah, he's very good. Well, he pulled his hamstring on the first
good.
Four
absolutely
plays
good. That's called thanks.
Of week two. So he's out for at least 2 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks.
You'll never see him again.
No, he's coming back.
You'll never see him again.
But the funny other thing, too, is then we got this Ben guy that's one of Buddy Lee's friends. He's supposed to be 6'4". I don't know if he's actually exists because
he's
never showed
up. 6'4"?
That's what I'm saying. He's supposed to be 6'4". I don't know if he's real. He hasn't paid his team due fee, and he also hasn't showed up to any games. So I don't know if he's real or not, but he's on the roster.
He's Buddy's imaginary friend that appears after a few shots.
So I think what's funny is that we're getting this, we're getting it done right now with who we had in D5. Mm-hmm. Our additions are all injured. One of our best girls, Sarah, is she crushed her ankle.
Crushed her ankles. That's never a good term.
No, it's bad. It was bad. I knew it was bad as soon as she.
Amanda says she's playing well, and
Amanda is playing well.
About how good she's doing.
I'm getting there. I was getting
all right.
Amanda's doing fantastic. In week two, she had seven catches on one drive and then a touchdown
on one drive.
I'm serious. Buddy just kept throwing it to her because no one was covering her across up the middle. And I'm like, what is that? Seven catches and then she got a touchdown. That was against you guys. THK.
Lost that game.
Yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, that's for her. It's an improvement. And then she's gotten a touchdown in every single game that we've played.
I remember the girl you're talking about because nobody was covering.
No,
I literally left her alone because I had both girls on me, and I'm like, I have to pick one of them. And then she did work her way up the field.
She has a touchdown in every game that we've played.
All right.
So I think that says a lot.
She just told everybody how to beat you. Cover Amanda, apparently.
Well, Kayla Street.
Mm-hmm.
She had a one-handed snag against Vice this week. She caught it in traffic one-handed and then spiked it. I thought we were going to get a taunting penalty. I was like, okay, come on. I get it. It was nasty. It was in traffic and it even got tipped and then she caught it one-handed and she got excited and she's like, woo, bam, spiked it.
Considering the personalities, we'll call them, in this league and the characters, have we ever actually thrown a taunting flag before?
I believe Sean got one.
Of course.
For spiking the ball, and then they put it on their shirts the next week.
Oh, that's what that was about. That's right.
But no, other than that, I don't think
so. Nothing bad happens when you get a taunting penalty.
Well, she had a lot of attitude, though. She looked back at the girl that was covering her, and it was angry glare.
Yeah, Kayla.
That's suspending her for the upcoming week.
Sounds 2 weeks minimum.
Yeah, I would agree. Kayla's out for at least 2 weeks.
Why is everyone trying to dismantle my team?
Well, because you keep ratting on them on the podcast.
Yeah, you just literally blew them.
I have it on tape now.
That's true.
Right. Sorry, let's go to 11 o'clock.
Okay, yeah, that's me. So we have the Free Ballers 50 against Mavericks 41.
Okay.
Gucci 33 against Goatsack 27. TMA 51 against Tater Tots 12. And Sausage McMuffins 37 against the Grass Eaters 31.
Okay, does anybody know anything about any of these games?
The only game I saw anything happen on was the TMA versus Tater Tots game. TMA was very, very close to the end zone, and Raina just literally stepped to the back of the end zone, and not a single person covered her, and she caught a touchdown. It was beautiful. Right. The Tots were very upset.
It seemed like the Tots were very upset.
I was just saying that it sounded like a little kid's
quote. Very good touchdown. She just casually walked into the end zone. Not a single person was there, and he threw the ball. Threw the ball, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, in a pseudo rivalry game that this tends to be, you don't usually see 51-12 like that, especially since TMA is running with half their roster. So.
Right.
I don't know who played well. I don't know what happened because we didn't see it, but that's a surprising result to be a blowout like that. Not that TMA won, but just that they won by 40.
What's going on with TMA, though? It's the ghost crew, the skeleton crew.
Yeah, they usually have 30 people on the roster.
I don't know if we said this before on the show, but originally they were going to just not even put in a team because I guess all their tall guys went away or got hurt or something. I know Prim had stuff going on, so it was a spot where they're like, we might not have a team because Diana broke her ankle, et cetera, et cetera. So they were just at a spot where maybe we won't have a team, and then everybody else, since again they have 47 people on the team, they were just the other half of us will play, and that's just what they're doing. So
they're coming back to full capacity in the fall,
allegedly. Right?
Okay, I think so. Yeah,
I think that's the plan.
It does seem like they're doing pretty well though so far.
I believe they're 2-0 because they didn't play week two. So whatever, good for them. Sausage McMuffins 37, Grass Eaters 31. We were talking about this before. Sausage McMuffins just doing work with their backup quarterback. They're up to 3-0. I believe the Grass Eaters were up in this game and they blew the lead. I'm pretty sure Steve said that.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. So, I mean, shout out to them. Who's the quarterback? Who's throwing for them? We were talking about this before.
I think we were saying Alex Hill is the guy that's
actually
quarterback.
Yeah, Alex Hill. I actually talked to him a little bit at the bar, and he said that was probably their hardest game yet as far as, they did beat back that pass up last week.
Okay.
But he said that it was more I think they were behind for a little while and then, came back and won. So, but that's huge for them to stay undefeated.
All right. So, Jeff, Gucci Oh my god, I can't read my own small
Gucci
type.
Goat sack.
Yeah, Gucci Goat sack. It was 33-27. These two teams have been around for decades at this point. Like,
yeah,
been
and
around
apparently
for?
They had never played each other. So these are
they
two
haven't.
Teams, they'd never played each other.
No kidding.
Two teams that had come over from Game On. Long histories for both of them. They've just never been in the same division at the same time. So Gucci's now 1-0 lifetime in this new rivalry.
Lifetime, yes.
Lifetime.
This new budding rivalry.
Absolutely.
Full of fresh faces. I love it. So shout out to them. Gucci's looking right back at home, like kind of picking up where they left off before, a couple seasons ago they're here. Gotex, after a very awful week one, but that was again in the pouring rain against Come From Behind.
Yeah.
They've been scoring points and figuring it out,
yep.
So they're finding their way. That's pretty awesome. And then the Free Ballers, speaking of finding their way, 50 points. The Mavericks only end up with 41. Obviously, just a shootout. Hope you bet the over. Yeah, good for the Free Ballers. They kind of needed this, right? Like, they were kind of,
yeah.
I think they were, what were they, like 1-3 or something?
I think they were 1-3. Yeah, I think they are 2-3 now. We've talked about this on every podcast so far, but D2 really just is the division where anyone can win in any
yep.
game, it seems.
Except for practice squad, apparently.
Except for practice squad, who finds new ways to
fired
lose.
Up
but,
right now, I know
but again,
that.
they are just a few good plays away from being 3-0, which is amazing. So you know that B is fuming about that somewhere.
So do you foresee D2 having more teams next year? Like, are we going
to... It's tough to say. I mean, look, ultimately what we have to do is see what happens with the top end of D3.
Mm-hmm.
So if it turns into a situation where it's like, all right, a few people kind of separate themselves, someone's going to win,
mm-hmm.
right? And then there's going to be a couple teams that are kind of like competitive and right in the mix. So the hope is that we can kind of even it out a bit next session.
Right.
People are afraid of playing in the top couple of divisions. So naturally, a lot of these like D2, D3 teams that are on the bubble, a lot of them really wanted to play in D3.
That's true. D3 last year, I can say from being in D3, it was a lot of fun, like
yeah.
top to bottom.
Well, it seems
every
like
game
it still is.
If you look at the standings this session,
I mean, you've got two teams that haven't won a game yet. Vaspian, who hasn't played with Drew, and then I think D-Generation Sexy also hasn't won a game yet.
Wasn't
Everybody
Drew
else
there
has
week?
One. Sorry?
Wasn't Drew there this week?
Drew was here, but he had a sticky.
Yeah, he didn't play.
Oh, how convenient.
He didn't play with Vaspian.
Who controls that schedule? Oh, yeah, you.
You would think I would try to help him if I was trying to rig
yeah.
this, right?
Yeah, no, but you didn't. You're trying to help yourself.
Yeah. And I sure did. Drew was awesome. So thanks, Drew.
Welcome back, Drew. All right, that's cool. So that's about it because, again, we didn't really see much at 11. So let's just roll on to 12.
All right, tight ends in motion, 27 versus Frodo Swaggins, 21. Can't touch this, 19 against Let's Get Wrecked, 12. Goat Sack, 24 against Not So Sticky, 22. Southside, 52 against Blitzkrieg, 6.
Well, I just said it a second ago. Goat Sack seems to be finding their way in the league, and they found their way into the win column with a 24-22 victory over Not So Sticky. What happened, guys?
Jenny, you want to talk about it? I do all the talking on these podcasts.
Yeah, it really came down to the last play. They were right at the end. We were trying to stop it. It was a tip ball. One of the girls on their team caught it, literally, like, right on the front line. Pictures
right
know.
On the back line, yeah.
No, she was on the front line
of the end zone.
Yeah,
you're very mistaken. We just looked at
Jenna,
a picture.
Get your shit together.
It was okay.
Jenna, let me take over this.
Either way,
Jenna's doing a terrible job.
She caught this touchdown the very last play of the game. It was a beautiful touchdown, and we lost.
It was just a few other notes about the game. Goatsack, we've said this before on the podcast, they're just like the nicest, like most fun
yeah,
people,
right?
Top to bottom.
They are
the
very
entire
good to play
game.
Against.
They were just absolutely like delightful to play against, just joking around the whole time. You know, both quarterbacks kind of threw a few picks here and there. Both teams had a few good offensive plays here and there. So it really was just a tight game right until the end, but such a fun team to play against.
Fair enough. I'm glad they seem to be having fun anyway. I don't know if anybody told you directly.
Yeah. Well, it's always more fun when you get a last second win too.
Yeah, of course it is. Especially in tipped ball exciting fashion. Let's see. Titans in motion 27, Frodo Swaggins 21. Titans seems to kind of get it together a little bit. Did anybody see any of this? Because I didn't see
any of the game. I know that Dave Baker said that Andy is their new starting quarterback this session. He said that Andy's finding his way. He said Andy's
right.
going to be just fine.
Somebody definitely, I couldn't remember who was telling me at the bar, but Andy was walking up and they were like, we need that guy on our team because he's really, really good.
Yeah.
And so I don't know who that was specifically, but, you know, shout out to them. Also, Garrett wanted to give a shout out to Frodo. He goes, we were down like 20 early on with tight ends, but they fought back and they were down 5 with the ball and with about a minute and a half left. He goes, we didn't win, but I'm proud of my team. He goes, also, having Maggie on the team is awesome because she's just so fast. I don't know if he meant, she's not on Frodo though, right?
She's on both.
Oh, I wasn't sure she's on just the baddies.
Yep.
He goes, she's hands down the best rusher in the league, and she still 100%. Changes games, even though.
Against a mobile quarterback like Andy, too. Right. I mean, that's huge.
And it was funny because I was talking to her at the bar. She's like, yeah. She's like, I love playing again. She's like, but I am going to feel this tomorrow. And sure enough, on her Instagram story today, she was just like, yeah, I feel really old. I don't want to move right now, which is how I feel, I think, every Sunday. So completely understand that. Can't touch this 19. Let's get wrecked 12. Did your friends tell you anything about their game?
Nope, didn't get any details.
Yeah. All right, then shout out to Can't Touch is getting a big win then. That's cool.
Is that their first? I think they were 0-2, right?
Yeah, they were 0-2.
Yeah.
Because we beat them the first week, and then last week they lost to the Jabronis.
Yeah.
So
yep.
For them to get a win against Let's Get Wrecked is pretty good, considering I don't think Let's Get Wrecked was missing anybody.
I think the only real note I have about the Let's Get Wrecked people is during the morning games,
the
we're hanging
sandwiches.
Out at the bar. Yeah, the breakfast sandwiches. Ricky was eating a breakfast sandwich, and Brian from Not So Sticky challenged him to eat like 5 more. So he's like, let's see if you can eat 5 breakfast sandwiches before your game. So Ricky tried. I think he successfully ate 4 breakfast sandwiches, didn't quite get the 5th, but then went out there and caught a deep touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Stomach full of breakfast sandwich, which is pretty incredible.
Did he just
my guess is he ran out of steam after that.
I was there for that bet, and we also told him that on the one that he didn't finish, like, well, you have to carry that around.
You have to play with it in your pocket.
You have to put that in your pocket. And you have to continue. You have still have to eat it. But you don't have to eat it here. You just got to take it with you.
He was sitting at the bar and was like, I could eat 4 breakfast sandwiches before my game and play perfectly fine. And Brian was like, okay, say less. And bought him 4 breakfast sandwiches to eat within 30 minutes of his game.
Okay, then. Ricky's gonna Ricky.
And then the bar even gave him like foil so he could wrap up the extra one. So he could play with it in his pocket.
He had a great deep touchdown the one time I glanced over there. So I mean, it's not slowing him down.
He probably had a breakfast sandwich in his pocket on that touchdown.
The process of it looked pretty rough. He was definitely struggling to get through these breakfast sandwiches.
So I have no idea. I had no idea about this, but Hearn walked up to me because James Aaron just floating around the bar doing Hearn shit. He walked up to me and goes, "Hey, you know, you need to beat Ricky's challenge." I go, "What are you talking about?" And he's like, "Well, it just means all you need to know is that you need to eat 6 breakfast sandwiches in a row." I'm like, I'm not doing that, Hearn. That's way too much. Only an idiot would eat that many breakfast sandwiches in a row. Turns out an idiot would do that and then go catch a deep touchdown. So, whatever. I don't have any other words.
He was like complaining about it. I'm like, you could have just said no.
It turns out you don't have to accept bets. It's the craziest thing.
Or just don't challenge people who are actually going to make you like live up to your bet.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
So then the last game, Southside 52, Blitzkrieg 6. Kind of a surprising result because these two teams kind of were dunking on other teams. Southside just kind of did whatever they wanted to Blitzkrieg. I know some nonsense happened at the end, but it's all blown over, so we're all cool there. Shout out to Southside, though. They're looking like they might be just too good for D6 at this point.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're massive favorites.
They blow it, they're going to D5 anyway, so just accept
100%,
that at this point.
Yeah. This is their last session in D6. Yep.
They're just too good. I mean, it's fine. They're going to routinely... I don't know else who could beat them. Southside McMuffins, they got to do it, right?
We'll see.
Who else beats them?
Yeah,
right?
I mean, who else?
Most of D6 is like new teams. I just don't foresee
that. Yeah, I've never even heard of
Southside. I really thought if anyone could do it, too, it'd be Blitzkrieg.
What's that?
I really thought if anyone would be able to challenge Southside, it would have been Blitzkrieg.
Yeah, and when you lose by 45, it's a lot. So the point is, that was bad math. I don't care, though. 46. Either way, not a great game on Blitzkrieg's end. I'm sure they were not thrilled about it, but they're still a good team. They'll still figure it out. They'll be fine. Bless you, Colorado, Emma. Good work. That was a hell of a sneeze.
Any way to get on the podcast. She's this one.
She's a delight. I think that's every game, so let's roll on to 1 o'clock.
All right. We have losing streak 39 against Eyes Downtown 38, come from behind 34 against ILF 12, Gucci 35 against the Long Balls 15, and Pit Hurried 54 against the Mighty Drunks 30.
Yeah, so losing streak 39, Eyes Downtown 38. That's awesome. Shout out to losing streak. That is the win they were looking for, I'm sure. Now, you told me earlier before we started the show that Eyes Downtown scored at the end and they went for 2?
Yep, looked like at the end Eyes Downtown was down by a girl touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So they had one of the girls on their team, and I actually didn't recognize her, was throwing. So she threw it, I think it was to Cody, one of the guys on their team, who just flat out dropped it.
Ugh.
There was a penalty, so they got another chance at
Ooh.
This. Yep, succeeded the second time to go down by 1 point. Of course, they went for 2 for the win.
Good, that's what you should do.
Yes,
I love that.
As you should. And of course, they weren't successful. So big, big job by big job.
Big
Good job.
Job.
Good
big job by you.
However you want to say it, for a losing streak, to pull that out at the end.
Big job, losing streak. I love it. Lightning Falcons, 12 points again. Maybe the worst offense in the history of the TSL.
I think so.
Cover behind. Still one of the better ones. They put up 34. Obviously not much to write home about that one. Gucci 35, long balls 15. You said you repped this game?
I did rep this game. Yeah, Gucci looked fantastic in this game. I don't remember if they got stopped at all, but it didn't feel like they got stopped. So Gucci uses like all of the time on the clock. John and I were kind of talking about this. They literally will wait until you count down 3, 2, 1 virtually every single drive.
So it shortens
the game a bit. But even still, they scored 35 points. So I mean, Kelly was just, you know, on fire connecting with her receivers. They all seem like they're good, like route runners. I don't remember them dropping a pass all day. They look fantastic. So Gucci just looked like they were, you know, a class above.
That's a very effective strategy, is when your offense is clicking and you're burning clock.
Yeah.
So if she's going to march down the field and not only is she going to score, you know, you're taking time away from the next, from the other offense. You know, that's huge. I like when players are really that in tune with what's going on around them. That's a cool strategy. I personally don't like to do that, but only because you never know if you're going to need that time later.
It's hard to have patience, is what it is.
You
want to go. You want to throw touchdowns. You want to play. You know, and like you said, you don't know if you're going to need that time later. So like, you could be just doing yourself a disservice. But I mean, if it's just the plan, it's the plan. It worked out very well for them, obviously, against the long balls there. So shout out to Gucci.
I mean, it might even be beneficial too to have those 30-second breaks, just to even catch your breath and relax and not like overwork yourself too. I mean, it honestly probably would kind of be nice. Although it is a lot less playing time.
Yeah, it is what it is, though. Winning cures any of those things, though. Pitteray 54, Mighty Drunks 30. Jenny, you reffed it, so you can talk a little bit about it, because people are sick of hearing about me. But I'll talk about it afterwards.
I did ref this game. I think you play on Pitteray. I think you guys did really well. Compared to the last time I saw you guys play, I think you did very, very well this week. A lot of deep passes from Nick. A lot of touchdowns back and forth. It was really good. It does seem like the Mighty Drunks did have a couple of drunk players. I'm not sure if that's like my impression, but it did seem like some of them were...
they were fine. They were fine.
But it was a very good game. It was definitely entertaining to watch. It looked like you guys were having a good time out there. That one girl on your team, Ray, right? What's her name, Ray?
Ray.
Phenomenal. I couldn't even imagine that catch she had.
So Ray is awesome. She's part of the reason that I wanted to start a second team, because I knew she'd be awesome. This was her first game ever.
Yeah.
Ever playing social co-ed sports. So she started to like learn rules
ever
and stuff.
Ever playing football?
No, she played football. Okay. She played in high school. She's like a three-time state champion wrestling dudes. And then I believe she also played on the football team too. She's
That's
a superstar.
Incredible.
I think she played D1 or D3 college basketball too, and she's like the D3 leader in assist or something, or she was at the time. Phenomenal athlete, even though she's only like 5'2". She's great. She's got attitude. I was like, all right, let's see how she does. First drive, she ended up just caught two balls, caught the touchdown right away. I'm like, oh, this is going to be fine. And then sure enough, now shout out to the Mighty Drunks. They hung in for sure. They were doing really well in the beginning. They had the one dude on the team, Cam. He was catching everything. He was making like, he was jumping up and getting his feet in the end zone.
He got injured right? Didn't he get injured? One of their players got injured and stepped off the field for the rest of the game.
No, that was the guy who runs a team whose name I just forgot, and I'm so sorry.
He like hurt his...
Yeah, it's kind of got to him. I'm so sorry. Yeah,
Their players stepped off the field because of an injury.
Yeah, he was a little hurt because I asked him what happened to him after the game. They're really great people to play against, by the way. Tons of fun. They were great. But then, yeah, we were down right before the half, and we threw a full field touchdown. Ray made a big catch.
Beautiful.
And
it was beautiful.
But what's even more beautiful is that she threw three touchdowns in the second half. So we would get like kind of close, and then she would take her glove out and say, all right, bro, I'm throwing.
She's got a solid arm, too.
Sure did.
Fire solid arm.
It was really cool. It was enough that where Joey Batts already told me that he's taking her for the cunning stunts. He said that within like three plays. So she was awesome. And everybody else, you know, another week of playing, they get how to play under the belts, that they're getting in better position, you know, because again, we have a lot of new people on the team, and had a couple of interceptions, and it was fun, you know. The Mighty Drunks are more on our level than like when we played Blitzkrieg and got killed, because they know exactly what they're doing. They played together for 6 years or whatever it was, so this was more our speed, and it was just a ton of fun. And then shout out to the team for hanging out at the bar for pretty much the entire day. But when you have a team of me and Dave Walter on it, like, you're just gonna do that. So shout out to my friends, shout out to Ray. It was great. What happened at 2?
Okay. We have the Legends 40 against Garrett Hitless 12. Itches and O's 22 against Bullet Club 21. The Baddies 28 against Creekers 21. Two Tutties 41 against Balls Deep 14.
All right. Legends 40, Scared Hitless 12. Not much to write home about here. Scared Hitless just gets beat up again. I don't know what else to say. It's kind of not going their way.
Yeah, they scored 12 points this week. I think 12 points last week and zero the week before that. So they, you know, it's off to a rough start.
Something's not right. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but it can't just be like not having Mel. That can't be it.
No, and it's funny. They did have Jamie this week.
Yeah, I did. See, yeah. So that's why I was surprised they only scored 12. Yeah. I didn't see that till now. So
I mean, Legends is obviously a very good defense also, so there's that. But, I mean, frankly, there's a lot of good defenses in D1.
For sure. So and Garrett sent me some stuff again. Like, shout out to him for taking the time to text me about his games. he actually just texted me right now. He doesn't know it. He goes, probably too late, but got to give Colorado Emma a shout out too. So that's spectacular. But he said, props to Missy on Creeker. She had a good game and did a great job of keeping her team ready when I kept doing quick snaps. The baddies again were up one score, and Garrett says, I also had the dumbest play ever. Trying to kill the clock with a minute left, thinking it was 5-0, it was 6-0, and I almost lost the game. So what he had done is, even though everybody had told him it was 6-0, the referees, his teammates, whatever, Garrett was still convinced it was 5-0. He ran around, and he took a sack on purpose. Took a sack on purpose, but it was 6-0, so it gave the quick
brilliant
ball.
Brilliant stuff.
Has anybody had...
What kind of field position did they have after that?
I don't know. They only had maybe 30 seconds to score, so obviously they
regardless,
did.
Regardless, though, you give them like less than half the field.
Nobody's had a worse first 3 weeks of a season than Garrett Beeson has had this year. It's amazing. Just hang him up, Garrett. It's a wrap.
I give him credit, though. He's owned it.
He has
like,
to.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah, you have to. But, like, there's some people that just, they like to be like, nah, you know, this or that. But, like, he's just like, nah, that's me. No, okay, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Oh, I love it. So shout out to them. Shout out to the baddies for getting a win. I believe that's their first one of the season. So you know, whatever. You knew they were going to win at some point.
Sure.
Like Garrett can't keep down those.
They're too good to lose the entire season. There's no way.
So then, two tutties, 41 balls deep, 14. Jenny, you said you saw some of this game.
I watched maybe 10 to 15 minutes of this game, and I was like fairly intoxicated on the sidelines while watching this game. So I didn't pay much attention. I mostly just talked to them. They had a couple really good drives, and you know, I went on my way.
Right. So, fair enough. Dynamite analysis. Jenny said you saw anything.
Yeah.
The shout out to the Tutties. They hung out.
What a breakdown.
They hung out for a while after the game. They just. I mean, they're doing really well. They've just been steadily improving since they started with us, and you just love to see it because
they really are.
We've said it before, like they're just a bunch of great people, you know. So good for them on just continually to do better. And then last one, it's Itzenos 22, Bullet Club 21. You want to start?
Sure. honestly, it was a good game.
This game was ruled, by the way. It was
a fight, and I think you know really the deciding factors here were, I think Jeff threw a couple interceptions that mm-hmm. were costly, yeah. And then on that sixth down when I batted it down, regardless whether he wants to tell me I was flailing like a palm tree in the storm,
but that was a big play.
Swatting that down on the sixth down for you guys to have to go ahead and because that would have sealed the deal. I mean, well, you know,
that was the first play that if we connected on, we would have sealed it.
Would have sealed the deal, yeah. And then there was some other ones, you know, that I think just got some throws that got away from them. You got like Bullet Club has some good athletes. I mean, there's no doubt about that. This was, like I said, this was a dogfight, and really what it came down to also is Steve Moser knows how to manipulate the clock to his favor once he has the game where he wants it. And that's really what he did at the end there. You know, if it's my team, I go for that extra point.
That's the smartest play ever. So
he dirted it, mm-hmm. and then that wasted more time off the clock for Bullet Club to have that final drive to try to go ahead and, you know, either tie it or obviously go ahead because we were only up by one.
Right. So the way the game went was we both traded. We started with the ball, we scored, then they came down and scored, and then we scored again. So we were up 14-7, and then after that it became just really good defensive plays. We like they were at the goal line, they had 6-0 a bunch. One time, you know, Jess McAndrew came through and swatted it down. Another time, there was a drop, I had a swat. We did pretty well. It was just going back and forth. And then in the second half, Jess got an interception. We ended up scoring, and we ended up going up 21-7. So Steve comes down, they score, you guys score on, I think it was again on 6-0, which is fine. We get the ball back. We're going down. Jeff throws a great ball to Kelsey. We're like, she makes an amazing two-handed catch going up. It was on 5-0 to bring us like right by, right. We were probably at what? the 2 foot line.
Yeah.
So if we score there, it's a wrap because the time's running out. And like Mike said, Jeff went to throw it over the middle, and Mike got his arm out and splat, you know, knocked the ball to earth, gave them another shot. We played really good defense on that. They didn't even get past the halfway part. They didn't get past half the field. So they had 6-0, and they just had to throw a prayer bomb. Easy peasy. Just knock it down. We'll be fine. For reasons that I cannot understand, Nate decided to go from his zone, and he just ran across to the other side because he said he was staying in the zone. He just stayed with, I don't know whoever it was.
I don't know who he decided to follow. I think it was Dirks, who is our real tall guy, our real big tall guy.
That guy, by the way, is awesome.
Yeah, he's great.
He had 2 picks. He had, I think, both touchdowns.
He's one of our most underrated guys on the team. He's fantastic.
That's a beer, right?
Yes, that guy's a real tall guy.
Really good.
We call him, so his last name is a little bit hard to pronounce, but in there, it's Dirks. Like, so it has a, so we call him Dirky Dirk, or just Dirks.
Yeah, that guy was
Alex
super cool.
Dirks.
And so for whatever reason, Nate just bailed completely on his part of the field.
And Riley was just standing
there. And so Riley was just standing in the corner. So Steve just noticed that all of a sudden there's somebody wide open in a third of the end zone and just threw it that way. It probably should have never happened. But that play, and on top of being a gender, gave them the 1-point lead. And then like Mike was saying, because Steve's smart. He's like, I'm just throwing it in the ground. It doesn't matter if they're up 2 points here. They ran for one. He took the snap and threw it to the ground. Why? Because he didn't want us to get a pick one and tie the game. Super smart. And we had about 2 minutes to go. We got about mostly halfway down the field, and then there was a pick at right in the end zone to seal it.
Yeah,
the
same guy, Dirks.
Yeah, Dirks. Another
picked it up.
Interception. He's really good. So we said it was a ton of fun. We had another game where we didn't have Pete. Nick Buchek still in Jamaica. So we were Gordon was doing military shit. So we were missing like half of our dudes anyway, but it was still just a battle. And it was a ton of fun. Like, even if people got a little screamy at times.
It wasn't at each other.
No, it wasn't. But it was still... It was still pretty fun, and it was so hot on top of it.
It was probably the hottest part of the day for me, anyways. I felt the heat.
Not fun to play that game without subs, that's for sure. So shout out to Jeff for getting me water when I asked him very nicely, too, because John Langley was dying.
On that, yeah.
Langley was like dying on the field. It was crazy, but yeah, everybody played really well. It was tons of fun, so it was good, and look forward to playing you guys again sometime.
Yeah, it's going to be a good game no matter what, especially because like that just that was a preview right there of what this could be in this division.
For sure. All right, 3 o'clock games, let's go.
All right, we have Jabronis, 41, against Degeneration Sexy, 28. Puckett All-Stars, 48, against Travis Henry's Kids, 18. The Cunning Stunts, 35, against Cobblestone, 26.
Shout-out to the Stunts. They also get into the win column for the first time. Again, you knew they weren't going to go, you know, much longer without getting a win.
They look good, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they were moving the ball.
You saw it?
I saw a little bit. I think the highlight for me was there was a play, I don't know how far out they were, 15, 20 yards, whatever they were. Taylor Pagano had a beautiful catch in the front corner of the end zone. That was just a great throw and catch by Joey and Taylor.
That's awesome. So shout out to the Stunts for getting the win. And then the Jabronis took on Degeneration Sexy. I don't know much about this game. It just seems like the Jabronis are firing on all cylinders right now.
They are. Every time I glanced over at that field, it was a Kleckler scoring a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric had a couple deep ones, I think. Bro had a beautiful touchdown catch. They looked like they were... They've fixed things a lot since the first week.
Nice. It looks like Degeneration Sexy is going to have to try to convince Senior to come out of retirement to start throwing so that they can turn things around. Can't wait to see that happen. He's there every week. You should just let him play.
Yeah.
Let the man play. It's what he's there for. It's what he's born to do. And then finally, we have Puckett All-Stars 48, Travis Henry's Kids 18. Jenna, what happened?
Yeah, I mean, it was a tough loss for us. We, you know, Pete also plays on our team, so we were missing Pete along with a good amount of our guys as well. Puckett All-Stars is overall a very good team. They're a very good team. Our first couple drives on offense, you know, we threw a couple picks. So, you know, Langley pulled himself out. We had another quarterback step up to help.
Who was that?
And, you know, honestly, I don't know his name.
You're a really good teammate.
He is the first week he showed up, I don't know. I haven't met him yet.
He did look sharp back there.
Yeah.
Like, I was in the sideline with somebody just watching this, and it was like, this guy looks
he
like
did
he's
play very
played
well.
In this league for years.
Yeah, he did play very well. They were just all over us defensively. I mean, it was tough, you know. It was tough for us to get ahead. But it wasn't a shutout, so we did try. It was a good game. It was a fun game.
Do you blame yourself for the loss?
No.
You should.
There definitely was a pick that was caught on me. You know, there was a pick that was caught on me, which sucked. And I definitely, I think, had a couple drops. So, you know.
So you didn't.
Definitely right, partially to blame, yes.
Yeah, so totally your fault.
So it's a team effort, got it.
Right.
Yeah.
So her fault.
So yeah, it was definitely my fault that we lost it, you know. Everyone else played phenomenal and I just sucked, so.
I love it.
There you go. That's the spirit.
There it is. That's what we were looking for. All right, so that's it for the games again. Hell of a week for games. That's what I love. I love the weather. I love all that stuff. So let's move right into, we got about 15 minutes left anyway, so we'll move right into winners and losers of the week. We'll do the winners first. Jeff, on to you.
I got two. They'll both be quick, though. All of Goatsack, just because they were such a fun team to play against. I told Andy afterwards, you know, I wish we could play against their team every week because that was just such a fun game. And then I'll take Travis for going out there with a shovel and digging up that rock on field two.
He
by
dug
himself.
Up the rock?
He dug up the
I
rock.
I thought we needed heavy machinery for
and
it.
And he, like, went out there with, like, dirt and patched it all up. So, like, that field is good to go now.
That is phenomenal.
Solo effort by Travis. The Bauer, actually, Joe David, the owner of Rose Garden, was like, yeah, I'll buy him a drink. So, thanks, Travis, for doing
that. How big was the rock? Do we have the rock?
No, I don't know what happened.
What are we doing?
We leave it right in front of it. Topper's Rock.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Well,
that's
we'll
a good idea.
On the front porch and, you know,
no, he's got too many massive rocks.
Yeah, that's it for my winners.
Jenna, who's your winner of the week?
My winner of the week is going to have to be Colorado Mike for finally showing up with his hands. For finally showing up with his hands.
All right. Weak, but I get it. That's fine. Mike.
Yeah, I have a couple winners.
Yeah, do better.
the Sausage McMuffins, the cornerback there. What's his name again? Alex?
It's Alex Hill.
Alex Hill. I told him at the bar that he looks a lot like Chad Pennington out there. Those from the Jets way back when. His arm talent, I was just honest with him. I mean, they float. Every pass he has, it just floats out there. But it floats to the right person. So, like, it doesn't matter. If you're not intercepting it, there's nothing really that you can say until it doesn't work. They're undefeated. He's not even the starter. And so I just feel like I have to give him a shout-out because I've watched some of their games, and I've just been in disbelief that he doesn't get intercepted at all. And he should. Because, like, it's just one of those throws where it's like, it looks like it's up there for 10 minutes. Somebody get that thing. If you're on the other team, it's got to be frustrating. So he was my winner, and then I'm going to go with someone on my own team. You kind of took it away from me, but I wanted to give her a shout-out on my own personal thing, is Amanda, because she's had a touchdown for us every game, and not only that, she got a sack. This last game, that was huge because they were in good position. They were at the midfield. They're going to try to cut that in half on fifth down. She got the sack, so then that put them at sixth down on the other half of the field. And so that was, I mean, that's exactly like what we've been waiting for. She's come along so far from where she was when she first started with our team.
Now, I mean, I'm sorry that I took it away from you, but I had to because she yelled at me at the field that I hadn't said anything about her being great on the podcast, and I said, blame him because he didn't let us know how well you've been playing. And she goes, oh, he's going to hear about it. So,
oh, yeah, she will, like, that's the,
so
she'll know
sure you heard about
that
it.
I'll hear about it.
But that's because she scares me, and I don't want to get beat
you
up.
You should be scared. She's feisty.
My winners of the week, I was going to shout out Ray on Pitterade because she was tremendous and everything I thought she'd be. It's always cool when you think somebody will be good at social co-ed touch football, and then they really, really are. So the other shout-out then has to be Louie the Pig, right?
Oh, yes. My God. Yes. That is a great choice.
That is the best choice. Yes. Literally, we just got to a point where we were sitting at the bar, and I was like, I don't know how much we've been drinking, but there's a pig on the pier. And Louie the Pig was there.
She called me the morning of the games and was like, hey, is there any rule about bringing pigs to the fields? And of course, there's
like, Garrett's on the field. We're fine.
Yeah. That's all you need to know.
So you just see this black pig just trotting along. You're like, okay, we're going to go see this pig. This is amazing. So shout out to the pig. But I was also going to shout out random dogs. John Langley's dog Tucker was there. Adorable. And then Nick Hawes, he had his dog Franklin there. So that was cool. So just like a good, big day for animals, too.
Yeah. I had my daughter.
But there's a pig. Yeah. Yeah.
I love it so much.
I thought you're the best. She's just over there eating chicken, doing math, more than you can do. So, good for her.
I didn't say I'd teach her anything.
We didn't know what you expected that you did. We understand that you're a babysitter every other weekend.
Oh,
yeah. Fine.
You go.
Anyway, let's move on to losers of the week then.
Without getting into too many specifics, sore winners and sore losers.
Yeah.
I mean, look, if you're killing a team, there's no need to, you know, talk down to them. Yeah. You don't need to kick them when they're down. And if you're losing a game by a bunch, I understand that it's a frustrating situation, but there's never a need to like escalate and, you know, try to make things chippy with the other team.
Right, of course.
So that's my loser of the week. Also, Jenna, for not mentioning my interceptions in her not-so-sticky recap.
Jesus Christ.
I'm out here intercepting balls, Jenna, and you don't think that's
news? You're playing the top role very well.
You know, I should have called Heidi as a winner of the week, because she's literally gotten a sack every single game she's played so far.
Yeah.
And two of those sacks were actually on interceptions that you have caught, which gave us the sack instead. So.
I keep intercepting these balls, and they keep coming back because Heidi is sacking the quarterback.
Yeah.
So.
Heidi's the girl on the Yellow Breakfast Club team that I don't know who that is. Who is
she? Yeah, she's one of my coworkers at Roswell.
Oh, okay.
So she just joined because, you know, not so sticky was looking for girls, and I felt like she would be a perfect fit. She's never played football before and was more than willing to try it, and she is doing wonderful. She's, you know, she's a super good fit to the team. Her personality fits in great, and she's playing well. So this is a super good fit.
There's not too many teams that it's easier to fit in on, though, than not so sticky. I'll put it that way. Like, you guys are pretty fun. You always are fun.
We're not a difficult crew.
No, not in the least. All right, so then who do you got for loser of the week?
All right, I have two losers of the week, actually. I'm going to call myself out on one of these because I was definitely brutal to the ref during the Travis Henry's kids game, which for me is very unprofessional because I also ref. I wouldn't want people to treat me the way that I was acting. So that's on me for that. And my second loser of the week is actually going to be Mullet Guy for not showing up to play in the Kriegers game because there were so many people looking forward to watching this game. Like, there was a crowd working its way over to the field to watch this game that was very disappointed when he wasn't there. So.
Mullet Guy. I love it. What a disappointment.
It's a huge
disappointment. From hero to zero.
It's
just
a
like
huge
that.
Disappointment. There was a solid crowd working their way over to watch the Kriegers game, and, you know, he wasn't on the field. It was pretty disappointing.
I love it. Mr. Mike.
Yeah, so I think I have two losers. My loser for the week, first off, is Ricky Recchio for eating four breakfast sandwiches.
Five breakfast sandwiches.
Which is about the same amount of years that he's known who I am, and then also didn't know that I had a kid. He saw me walk by with my kid, and he's like,
did you steal that?
And he goes, wait a minute, when did you get a kid? I'm like, I've had this kid
when
for 5 years.
Yeah,
I just found her. I just found her. So I was like, 5 years ago, and then about the same amount of breakfast sandwiches you ate today.
Ricky, never change.
So, and I'm like, I've brought her to the field multiple. What do you think? I'm just walking around with this kid.
Colorado Emma, for the record, Colorado Emma has two more podcasts than Ricky Recchio. Yeah.
And who has like bailed on us in the past.
I was blown away by, and then like at first I thought he was just giving me, you know, I thought he was just giving me shit. He really legitimately did not know. And I was like, I thought we were friends. And then my other loser of the week is anyone that's lost the sausage McMuffins. All right, like, so I know that they're undefeated, and like that guy's my winner of the week. But I want to go back on this and be like, I just keep thinking about these passes. They haunt me in my sleep because how are they completions? They should be interceptions every time.
They are doing exactly what they need to do. And that's what it is.
But still, I don't like it.
I love it. My losers of the week aren't people, per se. The first loser of the week is the company that makes my suntan lotion, or my sun protectant, because I put it on my face, I put it everywhere, because I was like, I know, every year, it's the same time, the first sunny day, you get charred, and it's the worst, even though it doesn't feel like it.
You gotta get that first burn out of the way.
Put it all over my face so I don't get the weird hat sunburn, I don't get anything. Got everything. Didn't work. I slathered that thing on too.
What brand is it?
I don't know. Some orange one. It might be Banana Boat. Who cares? Put them on blast. It's fine. So that really annoyed me. The other thing that I don't like, and this is my loser of the week, is the scheduler. I'm going to put this on you right now. Only because I think 2 o'clock games are the worst for me, personally. I really, really enjoy, and Lenny taught me this a while ago, which is why most bowl club games are at 10 or 11. You play your breakfast club game. You get your game out of the way early. You know, like Sticky Bandits usually plays early. And then you don't have to do anything the rest of the day. Like, I mean, we got to pay attention to, like, things for this and, you know, whatever else is going on in the league. But there's just something about playing and then having to sit around for 4 hours, then go play again. I just hated it. I would much rather get my stuff out of the way. And I just want to let you know that you let me down.
Does Bullet Club request morning games?
100%. And the fact that we had to play it two weeks in a row tells me that Jeff Kroll does not care about us the way Tom
does. So part of it is that I don't care about you, obviously. The other part of it if I may defend myself, I'm going to, because unless you edit this out later, I'll defend myself.
Yeah, I don't edit, buddy.
I know you don't edit. Believe me, I've listened to this podcast. I know you don't edit.
It's not a masterpiece.
When one team asks for morning games, one team asks for afternoon games, I know. Someone's going to get unlucky, so you can blame the rest of your division.
I completely understand why it happens, but that doesn't mean I get to be happy.
I know, that's
fair. When it comes down to my request versus Steve Moser's request, though, we should be playing in the morning.
Why are we accommodating Steve Moser over you? Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Out of fear.
Out of fear. I love it.
Could potentially be something to keep in the back of our minds for next season.
That is amazing, too. Yeah, so those are my other ones. There's nothing else really to talk about loser-wise. So we got 7 minutes. We're doing a pretty good job here. I thought this was going to be a quicker one, but we've bullshitted enough, which is what I love about this show. Let's roll into our final thoughts for the week.
I just want to thank all of you guys for making this podcast happen on incredibly short notice.
Yes, because that's how I was going to end. Mike, great fucking work today, dude.
Thanks.
I'm not even kidding with you. Running this podcast is kind of hard, and not having Topper as the backup to go to is kind of a pain in the ass, because usually we'd just be Topper would be holding a pool party right now, and we'd all be there, and it'd be exciting, and there'd be 12 more people there, and we'd have a blast. Well, when he's not around as much anymore, he's in Ellicottville a whole bunch now.
Yeah,
can't just go to Topper's house, so that kind of sucks.
And I mean, we can.
So I told Jeff to tell him that, because I feel like he'll listen to you more, but we didn't get that memo. So
he's allegedly coming to the fields this upcoming.
That's what he told me too. So we'll see. So. Again, I'm stealing your thunder here, but thank you for taking the time to do what you did for this, because it's hard to do it by myself, and when you, Jeff, help, all of our guests help, it's tremendous, and I know there's a lot of people that want to be on the show. A lot of people can't make a Sunday right after when we didn't know we were doing this right away, so it was hard to get people, so the fact that you guys are here is amazing to me. Jenna, Kyler, Mike, Kyler, Emma, it's beautiful. So thank you for that. Jeff, continue with whatever you're trying to say.
No, I think that you spoke my final thoughts.
I really did.
Better than I could, because, so...
That was my ending of the show. You ruined that for me.
Well, you'll come up with another one. You're a bright guy.
I do my best.
You're up, Jenna.
Okay. Overall, I think it was a really great week. The weather was phenomenal. The Breakfast Club bets were fun. I saw Ashley wearing her...
Monsters Inc. onesie.
Yeah, okay.
Shout out to her extra, too, because we were playing, like Mike and I were talking. Our game was hot, and it sucked. And Ashley's in this stupid suit where she's dying in it.
And I appreciate people. She almost threw on their bets.
I almost got to be my winner of the week because she held up that bet.
I went right after him, Ashley, you are sweating like a pig. Yep. It is hot as hell. Dude, you're running around, and we don't really have a ton of water and stuff. Take it off, I don't care. If anybody says anything, you can blame me, because I don't want you to die. So, no, I got this. I lost the bet. I'm like, all right, girl, you get it then. That's great. Go nuts.
Yeah, I think it was a good week, though. I think everybody had a lot of fun. There was a lot of good energy out on the field. You know, it was a good week.
It was the perfect week so far.
A couple final thoughts. I think shout out to Sidelines Sports Bar and Grill for being able to accommodate to us.
They're getting tagged on Facebook.
I explained the situation to them, and they're like, "Oh yeah, we got a back room. Come on!"
Awesome.
And so that was really cool. And then I think my other shout out is to Garrett Beezing. We found this beautiful back room just in case that haunted place doesn't work out for all the single ladies out there in the league. He's got another place right here on Delaware.
That's a
He's just so you know. It's much nicer, too. There's some trophies over there from different sports, looks like, maybe.
We talk about Garrett.
You can act like those are his.
We talk about Garrett.
Garrett does a lot for us.
He's a big character, though. He gives us material every week.
I'm just trying to help him out.
Oh, I don't think he needs
your help. He got the ref schedule out really early this week. That was great.
Yeah, he's doing his job.
He came out really early this week.
No, it's not, because he'll put up the schedule, and then 12 people will bail on him.
Yeah.
Guys, we still need somebody at 1, or somebody else that might rain, so they don't want to do it anymore.
I could spend my winner of the week every week just talking about how difficult that ref schedule is and how much I appreciate Garrett for those last-second adjustments that he has to do, and people bail
him. He kills it.
Day of. So that was a great thanks again, Garrett.
There were a lot of refs yesterday too that I think did a really phenomenal job stepping up with games running behind. I know,
except for CJ, obviously, because you gave him the business.
I did give him a very hard time. Yeah, I did apologize though.
Get your shit together, John.
I did apologize, and we're fine. You know, things are good.
But a lot of times they tell you this, You should have your shit together at this point.
You know, I was told that.
She's like, that's how you
I was told that yesterday. I think it might have been like 27. But
I just feel like your shit's just all spread
it's just
out.
Not
and you're not
together.
You're not
yeah,
even trying to collect
even,
it. You're like a shit collector with amnesia.
But as I was saying, it's radio.
You just start collecting it and then forget what you're doing.
Yeah. The not-so-sticky game ran like 15 minutes behind and I was supposed to ref, so Mal stepped up and refed like the first little bit of that game. So I think people were doing a really good job kind of trying to accommodate others with fields running late. Just really appreciative of that.
All right, so it comes on to my final thought. People in the back, you guys can't hear this, but I have the headphones on. Every time somebody uses that blower,
I was wondering how
it's so loud.
Yeah,
it's very blatant, honestly, because we have three mics technically pointed at it.
Yeah.
It's quiet like in real life, but it gets way worse when it goes on. But hey, props to people washing their hands. What are you gonna do? All right, so my final thought. I got two of them. So.
At least rinse them with water. Yeah.
You're right. Exactly. You watched me wash them. I watched you get them wet. Hope which is great. All right, so two final thoughts. The first final thought. I'm going to close with... All right, so first off, Jeff Kroll, you're having a baby. Allegedly, right? It's yours,
that's
I'm sure.
Say,
his team
yeah.
loves you,
yep.
so whatever.
Yeah.
That thing's coming on my birthday in July, so really excited for that. And your friends, or whatever Andrew is, they're throwing the diaper party for Jeff Kroll. So for the people out there who don't know, Jeff does 92% of everything that goes on for this league. And the things he doesn't, he still has a hand in.
Like, so also bring him diapers, is what you're saying?
No, he doesn't need it. He's okay. not that old. But we're having a diaper party for Jeff after the games. Do you know what time that's officially starting?
Yeah, 5:00 to 7:00.
5:00 to 7:00.
This upcoming Saturday.
Yep.
In that
yeah.
back room of
right.
Rose Garden.
Right, but since we'll all just be there everywhere anyway, if you like this league, if you enjoy what you're doing, especially now, it's because of this man. You don't know. You have no idea all the stuff that he's doing for it. So bring him some diapers because we're having a diaper party for him. He's having a kid. Bring him if he can get as many diapers as possible. It doesn't matter if you're going to stick around for the party. It'd be cool if you are. If not, I mean, just do it as like a simple like thank you for all the stuff that he's done. Again, I can only say it in words and you're never going to fully understand it, but he's done everything for this league. The reason it exists is because of him now, and that's just the truth. So if you're appreciative of the league, you're appreciative of Jeff Kroll, so bring him some diapers. I don't know exactly what you want, so why don't you just say it out there what Christine wants.
Yeah, so any kind of diaper is good. I think that Pampers and Huggies are like the two main brands that
okay.
That we're looking for. Loves are also fine. I mean, diapers are diapers. Typically, people get them in different sizes, newborns, you
yep.
know, whatever age it is. So really, anything is fine, and we really do appreciate anybody that feels like they want to contribute to this.
Exactly. So if you're not going to do it for Jeff, do it for me, because I'm telling you to, and I'm pretty great. So Jeff's fantastic. He just bring back some diapers for Jeff and Christine. He deserves it. It's a really cool way to say thank you. If you don't want to, well, fuck you. So other than that, but here's why I don't think it'll be a problem, because my last final thought, and this is how we're going to end, is that shout out to the league. I don't know everybody individually, but a lot of people donated money to our little Breakfast Club bet that we had this week between Becca and Ashley. They, like I said on the podcast last week, they donated to the Center for Handicapped Children. The loser of the bet was going to pay $50 towards it, and then all of a sudden it swelled into this thing where people are donating here and there. I know Topper donated, you donated, I donated.
Yeah, I think Laylee donated like $100
yeah.
too or something like that.
John, for some reason, donated like $150.
Yeah.
Shout out to him. Absolutely. And then even Becca, even though she won, she donated $45, so that way Ashley still donated more because she lost. So it was fun, but thank you to everybody who donated. Like I said, I think we got $600-$700.
I thought it was 600.
Yeah, we got really up there, and that's really cool for something we A, threw together at the last minute, and B, didn't really get the word out until late because we didn't really know what was happening. So
yeah.
That was really cool, and it's just a testament to like how great this league is. If we had probably had more time to like promote it and make it more of a thing, I feel like we would have done oodles more. So shout out to the league, and that's pretty cool. And it makes me wonder, I'll probably talk to you this off air, but I think we can do something where we help the community more. Why couldn't we?
Yeah, sure.
So like I have a really cool idea, and I don't want to put it out there yet until I talk to you about it afterwards. So just remind me in about 14 seconds when I sign off. With that, thank you everybody. Thank you for donating. Thank you for playing football. Thank you for taking an hour and 2 minutes of your time to listen to this drivel with all the airs and blowers in the back, whatever. Thank you, Kyler and Mike, for fighting sidelines. Thank you for sidelines for saying, hey, let's have these nerds talk about their podcast upstairs. Thank you to Colorado Emma for being a delight. Thank you for Jennifer coming here from Pennsylvania. It was amazing. And thank you to Jeff for just goddamn it everything. I appreciate you guys. Thank you everybody for listening. And well, screw it. We're just going to do it again in a week. So rest up, sober up, and see you next Saturday. Bye.
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 Of a cliff in Scotland, a child bites an apple, but the core is rotten. TV is free, but what is the cost? We have GPS, and yet we're still lost. A carrot in the desert, a camel in the garden, a man with giant ears begging your pardon. What if a garbage man was actually smart? A common misconception that we're tearing apart. Into a dog, dog food is just food. Into a sock, a mansion's just a big shoe. A milk dud sitting in the acid rain. A house cat addicted to the cocaine. No teeth, unlimited floss. These are just a few of our incredible thoughts.
Incredible thoughts, incredible mind. Too many great ideas inside. It's a miracle my head can contain them. My spectacular brain for all humankind. Changing how we think about space and time. Now it's time to share them with the people.
So incredible. A ballerina waits for the bus. A number one dad trophy covered in rust. A nun ducked to basketball, living the impossible. A man breaks his leg inside a hospital. We just thought of that, and it could change the world. We're like a smart oyster full of pearls. Such as an ultrasound of a new baby with a Santa hat drawn on. Yeah, that's my kind of Christmas card. What if a butterfly was made out of butter? These small thoughts could destroy Big Brother. The world's cutest kitten just hugging a dog. Just one of many of our incredible thoughts.
What if one thought could cure the people? What if one song could end all evil?
Imagine if a fish could play guitar and also sing. It would sound bizarre, like
my name is Mr. Fish.
Yeah.
These guys' thoughts have granted my wish. Oh,
and
yeah.
That may have just changed the course of time. I swear my mind blows my mind.